Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. Looks, as I look out, it looks a bit like a ship that side. It's funny, isn't it? This morning, it was the favour was on this side, and this was a bit sparse. It's really interesting. As I began thinking about this talk, I was reminded about a brief conversation between me and Jim and Richard Palmer, who plays the drums sometimes. It was just before Christmas, and Richard was asking Jim how he was getting on playing the bass guitar, which he's been doing now for about 18 months. And Jim replied that he's now practicing for 15, 20 minutes a day regularly. And the reply of Richard was this: "Oh, better than your prayer life then, Jim." And it just opened up that thought that, you know, we're all aware too easily, aren't we, of our weaknesses in prayer. And we're too ready to think that somebody's a better prayer than me, or they do it better than I do. And, you know, this whole series of prayer everywhere, we're hoping to crack open this whole idea that, you know, somebody might be better at prayer than you or I, because it's just not true. God doesn't mind, and he just longs for us to pursue our relationship with him, and he actually likes us. He loves us, and he delights in those times when we come to him in prayer. I think, you know, as I thought about Jim and this journey he's on at the moment with the guitar, he hasn't tried to make progress on his own. He's gathered some scaffolding around him. He did go for a couple of lessons, but I think the guy was expecting far too much from him, and he found that very disappointing. So he gave that up, and he then got some CDs. He's got music. He bought himself Music Academy, which is a tuition course in the CD form. And then, you know, of course, he's got the internet, YouTube, and along with the videos of people like the Rolling Stones and Status Quo, because that really rocks Jim's boat. So that's encouraging him. And he's even more encouraged now because, you know, something's been happening over the past few weeks, because he now practices, and it's not such a struggle, at least half an hour a day. And he's enjoying what 6 months ago he thought was unachievable. So he's leaving the struggle behind, but he still needs that discipline to make progress, to become better at playing this guitar. And I think, you know, as I thought about it, I thought this is a picture of how we can go deeper in our relationship with God in prayer. And it does, you know, it's going to need discipline, it requires practice, perseverance and persistence. And God, you know, he just wants us to get to the place where we enjoy his presence just for his own sake. And then we will find it easy to respond to that call in the Bible to glorify him forever, and that will come quite naturally to us. And, you know, we've got these grandchildren, and so we're always in a mix of these junior age children. And, you know, when they find something new that they're really interested in, they practice and they practice and they practice. Nobody tells them to. They just get on with it, and it naturally flows from them to get better and better, and that's the only way to do it. So they don't think of these things as being disciplined. They just respond. And I think maybe that's where God wants us to be in our relationship with him, to always want to follow him and to know him more and more and his love in our lives. And last week we launched the Prayer Everywhere series, and we heard that we'd be sharing resources from Pete Gregg's book on how to pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. Don't worry, that's all of us. Doesn't matter how normal you think you are or not. And there's a focus in this book on the Lord's Prayer, which, you know, it's just such a familiar prayer, and it can be used as a pattern for prayer or in itself as it was read this morning. And Pete Gregg suggested that we use pray, the word, as an acrostic model to help develop this deeper prayer life. Along the side there, you know, you can see P for pause, which we heard about last week, R for rejoice this week, A for ask, and Y for yield. And each week we'll be sort of bringing those to you. And underpinned by all of this is three simple phrases: keep it simple, keep it real, and then keep it up, which is really what Jim was doing with the guitar. And it's only a suggested model. It may not work for you. It may not work for me. But I suspect that when someone like Pete has spent the last 20 years soaked in a journey of exploring prayer and teaching and encouraging others to pray, not only in this country but across the world, there will be something here that we can learn from and be blessed by. So this week we'll be looking at the second letter R, rejoice. And I have to say that I prefer to be thinking in terms of worship, adoration, and thanksgiving, which, you know, it enables me to find that rejoicing in the presence of God. But if somebody says rejoice, as Paul, you know, encourages, rejoice in the Lord always, sometimes we just don't feel like that. And that's we just don't quite know what to do with that. But it's okay if we're talking about prayer, because there are no hard and fast rules. You know, if we're seeking Jesus, we just can't get it wrong, even with that first prayer that, you know, we anxiously utter. The first line of the Lord's Prayer is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And often it slips out before we've even noticed it. And I'm going to show you a clip here from Pete Gregg, which he's being interviewed by somebody called Poppy Williams. They're just having a conversation, really. And he's talking about a starting place for prayer. Thank you.
When we're talking about developing a disciplined, deepening prayer life, in our own personal quiet times or in church prayer meetings, it's a good idea to start with adoration. It's like obviously microscope here, the telescope here. It's easy to spend most of our lives just staring through a microscope, kind of obsessing about ourselves and our own little concerns and how we're feeling and what we're thinking. But there's a really, really big world out there and a very big God who made the cosmos. And I think when we worship, it's a bit like we swap the microscope for the telescope. It changes everything. So when you stare up at the stars at night, anyone who's not completely weird worships. No one stares up at the stars and thinks, "Aren't I amazing?" And we get lost in something bigger than who you are. And Jesus tells us to start prayer with that attitude, remembering that God is God, that He's holy, that He's our Father in heaven, that He loves us, and not just to kind of like fill our shopping carts with requests and ram them against heaven's gates. That's not really prayer, because this is relational, not transactional. God isn't just some big slot machine in the sky waiting for us to, you know, put in our prayers to get an answer.
Yeah.
I love what he's saying here, because he's reminding us that prayers, it's really first and foremost about our relationship with Jesus, and it's about a developing intimacy and being aware of the presence of Jesus in our lives, not only when we turn to him in intentionally for prayer, but all the time. And I guess some of you know, you might be sitting here thinking, here we are again, we're talking about prayer, and I bet nothing changes, but I just want to say this to you, that we all have a choice about our lives with God, about our relationship with God. And yes, you know, for some of you here today, you'll already have a rhythm to your prayer life that works well for you. And for the moment, you might be thinking, well, I don't really want to introduce anything new. But for others, you maybe have a sense that you want more than rations in your prayer life, and you want to enter into a deeper and more intimate relationship with Jesus. think that all of us, you know, prayer, it's, on one hand, it's very simple, and on the other hand, it's just so hard at times. And we all find that on some days, you know, we don't quite know what to do with prayer. And yet other days, it can be the most wonderful, intimate time with God when his love and power is unmistakably present in the time we spend in prayer. These other times we may feel that walls are like brass. But, you know, as we get to know Jesus better, I think this is what I'm trying to say, that we'll get to trust him, to know him and stand on his promises much more often than we do. And as we gather more and more of that sense of wanting to be in and develop this relationship with Jesus, our prayer lives will begin to flow out into a time of adoration, of thanksgiving and worship, before we bang in that shopping trolley, so to speak. So this morning, I've invited some people from the congregation to come and talk to us about their experiences of prayer. And I think it's better for you to hear from them than any more from me. So I'm going to, somebody says, don't ask me first. And so I'm going to ask David Hopwood. David, would you come, please? Just share with others what you have to say this morning.
Sorry, I wrote it down.
Have you?
It's easier. Okay, so most of you know me, I think, don't you? How long do you want me to go on for?
Well, when I come close.
Right, okay.
Because there are three others.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, I'll probably have to cut this down then. So I've been a Christian a fair old while, but I'd say that probably most of that time I've known God loves me and I've known that I love him, but I've not really felt it. And I didn't maybe think that was a big deal. But then somebody asked Jesus, how do I get eternal life? And he says to them that you need to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And I felt like I lacked that most of my Christian life, really. And I think it's because I had this wrong picture of who God was. I'm sure a lot of you know that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But I think what I'd thought in my head was, for God was so exasperated with the world and with me that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. And I think that's what I'd been unconsciously thinking a lot of the time. And that led me to feel like not only was God exasperated with me, but I actually was pretty exasperated with him. And it's very hard to get close to somebody when you have this kind of picture of them. Now, I don't know why that was the case for me. Probably never know, but that's how I was. And then when I started going to New Wine, which is this big Christian event where people come together from around the country and worship, they listen to sermons and talks and have opportunities to have fellowship and pray together. I think things came to a head, really, and I sort of cried out literally to God once in this meeting and said, Lord, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this relationship, because if this is the best it's going to be and I've still got, I don't know how many years left, hopefully some fair old few, there's got to be more to it than this, please, you know. Thankfully, I do believe it is God's grace. God's grace in me, and I think because of his Holy Spirit in me, which I'd prayed for his Spirit many, many times, maybe not feeling that much, but being persistent and going to New Wine and coming to church and trying to keep my fellowship with God going, I do believe that God did do something in me. But it is him. It's got to be him, because I know that it can't be me after years and years of just being a boring Christian, really. And I think that one significant thing that happened to me was that once I'd kind of said this to God, and he then came and did something in me, is that he somehow led me to worship him. I don't know how that happened exactly, but I did start going on YouTube, and I started trying to look for things that spoke to me, things that I thought were worship songs that I could really relate to, that I felt I could say, yeah, those words are exactly what I'm thinking and feeling. And in that way, I think I began to understand how God is not this exasperating Father, but this Father who actually loves me, absolutely loves me to bits. And I should have realised this a long time ago, but I just didn't realise it for some reason. So I not only began to worship him for who he is as my Father, but I began to respond to him as somebody who wanted to love him back, you know, and that's quite a surprise for me. So I would say that for me, I don't feel like I've said much about prayer here, but I think that worship has brought me really close to God because it's showed me that he's my Father, and I'm really enjoying just being in his presence, you know, when I'm worshiping. And I think that if I had to explain, like, how's that prayer, I think it's probably our Father who art in heaven. I think I've probably just got that far. And maybe I'm just going to get on to the bit which says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come, that bit. I think I'm wanting for that bit to happen now. And I think it's coming slowly in my life. And I think it's that worship that God's helped me to know through the Spirit. And I think it's that relationship of Father, and I think it's also helped me to just spend my time in his presence and listen and maybe hear what God wants to do instead of me thinking I know what God wants me to do.
Thank you. Thank you, David. I'm going to ask Howard now. And, you know, as Howard's coming up, you know, David's been talking about adoration in prayer, and we separate worship, prayer, and everything in our whole lives to do with God is interlinked. So thank you, David, for that. Howard.
Thanks, Mike. I'm winging it. I've got no notes. So Marion asked me kind of what my take and my experience was surrounding prayer, and I had a bit of a think, and it is quite simple, really. It's not very complicated, probably because there isn't a great deal of it, but the things, I suppose, we manage to pray with the kids, and that's something that is factored into our life, and we do regularly, and I do think it's important that we do that, and it's just getting them understanding maybe why we're doing it and trying to get them involved with it a bit as well, beyond just the saying of the Amen. And I think that's definitely become a routine. In the wider sort of life, I guess that's where it's a bit more difficult. And structuring things in, I'm not sure that I've managed to do that particularly, but certainly there are definitely days where I will just try and have conversational prayer, as it were, with God. And for me, that's quite a big thing. I just try and talk and just say thank you for the day, thank you for what's going on, if it's sunny, thank you for that, and just think about what's happening in that day and just sharing with God and that sort of thing. And I suppose that's part of trying to build up that relationship and make it more personal, because at the end of the day, if we want a personal relationship, then we need to talk. I'm not sure I'm so good at listening, maybe, but I'm definitely talking, that's the thing. I also feel that, unfortunately, it's not great in one way, but I suppose it needs to happen. Definitely when things are tough and when we have people that sort of are going through bad times, we're definitely asking, and I'm definitely praying and asking. So there is a bit of a, excuse me, there's a bit of a, oh, it's bad, it's a bad time, I'm praying for that. And I know it needs to happen, but you kind of feel a bit bad when it's always, I'm turning to you, God, now, because it's bad. I need to be turning to you pretty much more always and doing that. But we certainly do kind of like the prayer sort of starts to kick in when sort of bad things are going on as well. But for me, I guess it is just that case of trying each day, if I can, to say thank you for the day, and I hope that everything goes okay in that day. And then throughout the day, sometimes if I'm on my own and I'm just out somewhere on a site or something and it's a particularly nice day, it's just thank you for this beautiful place and that kind of thing. And I suppose in that moment as well, it can kind of become a bit of worship too, because you're just saying thank you for what's going on and how nice it is. That's it, simple.
Thank you.
quite all right.
Thank you, Howard. Thank you. There's a beauty in what we're listening to, isn't there, of people's experiences with God and how, you know, God's so imaginative in the way he comes to us when we come to him. I'm going to ask Val to come now. Thanks, Val. It's all yours.
I think over the years I've had a bit of an up and down relationship with God. You know, it's sometimes, I think it's like friends, sometimes you see them all the time and you're very close to them and you talk to them, you share things with them, and then you drift apart and you don't see them for absolutely ages. But then when you do see them again, it can be months, years, you're back to where you were before. And I think that's how I've been with God over the years. I've been very close to him at times and I've had some amazing times with God. But then at other times I felt, I haven't felt that God's abandoned me, but I've thought, well, I've prayed for this, prayed for that, nothing's happened, what am I doing, why isn't it happening, shall I bother? And I think through sharing that with other people, I've been encouraged to go back to God and to pray. And it's always worked out for the best. But I think one of my real challenges is time. You know, I can set a routine out and I'm really good and I sit and I have my Bible time and my prayer time. And then I could do that for months. Then suddenly there's a spanner in the works and everything goes to pot and it takes me ages and ages to get back into that same routine again. I mean, at the moment, I'm in a really good routine and I would just like to share one thing with you, one amazing thing that happened yesterday. Yesterday, I had to make a telephone call to somebody, which was going to be extremely difficult because I was angry and I kept thinking, I hadn't prayed about this, I kept thinking, I need to say the right words, I've got to be very careful, I can damage a relationship here. And I thought, oh, I'll look at my Bible to begin with. And I'm using some Jeff Lucas notes at the moment. And I went through the Bible thing. And I did all that, and I thought, And then I thought, I'll read the prayer. And I really want to read this prayer to you. It says, Lord, I want to walk humbly with you and also have integrity, grace, and clarity in my words. And then these are the words that got me. Help me today. Now, when I looked at my Bible reading, it was for Wednesday, and I was behind. So I thought, this is actually, you know, a real God incident. And so I made that telephone call. And it was amazing. When I reflected back on it, I thought, why did I say that? Where did those words come from? And I know that that was God's grace and God's spirit on me. So that fires me up again now, and I'm sort of, the relationship is good. So I just praise God and thank him for that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Val. And Denise. Denise was saying before the service began, if I was doing a cookery jam in front of 100 people, I would not be worried. And now I am so anxious.
I am.
We really want to hear what you have to say.
Thank you. I'll just pretend it's the NEC, the good food show. If I've got my reading glasses on, you're all blurred, and that's good. Right, a week today, February the 23rd, next week, at 4 o'clock, I will have been a Christian 40 years. And that's a long time. And the last 20 of those years have been characterised by quite a lot of inaction on my part and quite a lot of reluctance to be involved in anything or to make any effort whatsoever with my Christian life. Now, going back to 2012, 2013, a big, massive bomb was dropped into our lives. Steve's job, suddenly the rug was pulled under him and it looked like he was going to lose his job. And I know that there are a lot of worse things that can happen, but we're at that funny age
we're in that funny decade when losing your job can be, you know, it's really very difficult to find another one. Anyway, it made Steve ill, understandably. He was very ill. And I realised I had one weapon that I could use, and that was prayer. You know, I couldn't do anything physically about Steve's job situation. There was nothing I could do. And so that was my first realisation. Now, not surprisingly, I couldn't sleep. You know, this went on for some time. I found that I couldn't sleep, and I'd be awake at 3 o'clock, and I'd toss and I'd turn, then I'd go downstairs, and this became quite a regular thing. And I'd sit, you know, and I'd make tea, and I'd go and sit in the dining room, and, you know, and I'd just pray. And I had my prayer buddy, the cat, sat with me. He was no help. And but, you know, I just prayed, and, you know, I just kind of, you know, beseeched, really. And I came to really need those times, you know, and God did speak to me and Jesus did answer prayer. It took a long time. But what I found was I enjoyed it again. I enjoyed those prayer times, you know. And I promised myself, I didn't promise God, because I thought if I break my promise, I've had it. So I thought, I just promised myself that I would carry on because it meant so much to me. I'll have to look at my notes now because I forgot what I was going to say next. Yes, he did listen. It's our only weapon. Oh, yes. This is a visual aid. This isn't all I've got to say. This is just a visual aid. But what I find I do, what I started to do then was I started to make notes when I felt, you know, that God had given me a verse or a little picture or some encouragement. I'd write it down on a bit of paper or a card. And behind the clock on the mantelpiece at home, there's a wadge like this of cards, of all of that. And every now and then I get it out and I have a look and I have a read. So, you know, God, so often in when something awful happens, you know, God brings good out of it. And I feel for me that he brought me back to my relationship with him, you know. And I must tell you, in the interests of full disclosure, you know, we do have unanswered prayer in our lives, and we have a situation that we keep praying about, and like Val was saying, you go round and round and round, and you think, you know, this is never going to be answered. What am I praying wrong? And Friday morning, and it's funny because you rang me Friday evening, so I feel I must confess this. Friday morning, I did something I've never honestly done before. I got really angry with God and really verbal. And, you know, it worried me a bit because, obviously, you know, it worried me. So I mentioned it to Steve later and he said, you know, you've got to be honest because God knew I was angry. What I'm saying is I verbalised it to God in my dining room. And there was a bit of a throwing about of things as well. But he knew I was angry. He knew I was angry. So why pretend? So anyway, the conclusion is that through unhappy times, I was brought back to a relationship with Jesus that is everything. And I never want to visit, but I don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning anymore. I found that wasn't, you know, you don't have to do that to have a prayer time. Did that make sense?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, it made perfect sense to all of us. Thank you. There is, you know, that what this prayer series is about is our hope is that we become a people of prayer and a people who love Jesus more and more. And we know that in deepening our relationship with Jesus, we shall see his kingdom come. There's so much in the Bible that says, you know, if my people will humble themselves, then I will hear their prayer. And it's coming as a child of God, knowing that he absolutely loves us. He's never going to be mad at us when we turn up. no matter what's in the past. And these times of prayer we've heard from different people, that God isn't expecting us all to be the same. Thank you for sharing so much. And I would encourage all of you afterwards to talk with all of these people and to share with them something of your prayer life too. And hopefully, as we become more and more verbal about the way we struggle with prayer, we find it difficult. I feel as if I'm in the wilderness at the moment with prayer. I'm not. I'm on the mountaintop at the moment. We've heard how it's the sort of consistent thing about prayer is its inconsistency in some ways. But Jesus longs for us to pursue his heart. And in pursuing his heart, we're going to find more and more of his love in our lives and more of his power at work in our communities and amongst the people we pray for. So I just want to share this one clip, which is looking at something that we could maybe begin to invest in.
First of all, pause. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. So what that means is, it's a funny thing, but often the best way to start out in prayer is to stop and to be still. To stop kind of talking at God long enough just to focus on the wonder of who he actually is. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I just find the world is so hectic. If I just rush into prayer with a bunch of requests and I don't pause, then I don't really move into adoration. It's all microscope, not telescope. And the way I do that really practically, Poppy, is I'll often just sit quietly. If I'm walking, I'll just walk quietly for a minute or two and make myself aware that God is present. If I'm carrying any stress anywhere in my body, I very deliberately just relax in that area. I'll breathe deeply. Just what could be more sensible than breathing deeply to just function well. And I'll often use just a little prayer phrase that I just repeat over and over again. It's not so much about the words, it's more about displacing distractions to help me focus. That could be just Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Mm-hmm. It could be thank you, Jesus. It could be praying in tongues. The Franciscans one is my God and my all, my God and my all. So really simply, this is just about, before you rush into anything else in prayer, just be still. Breathe deeply and just maybe repeat a little phrase again and again to help you become aware of the presence of God.
It's maybe not for all of us, but there is an important aspect to not rushing into God's presence and allowing ourselves to remember just who this God is, that he's our holy Father in heaven, who has immense capacity to deal with anything we might bring before him. And then prayer seems more meaningful. It seems more worthwhile. I think sometimes those simple phrases are all we can have to offer. It's all we can muster because of the way life is. And I know a while ago, Steve Tollefield, he shared with us how the simplicity of that phrase, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, was what helped him stay connected with Jesus during a very difficult time for him when words failed him. So it's important that, you know, when words are difficult, we realise that it doesn't matter to God. And even if we're just quiet and silent, God accepts that and understands everything that's going on in our hearts, because he knows us better than we do. So I'm going to, it's a part of the service where there would be intercessions, but I'm not going to lead intercessions. I'm going to suggest that we take this opportunity to practice this time of being quiet. If you would like to pick up one of those ideas of Pete's, that take deep breaths, slow yourself down, relax in the presence of God, and even, you know, maybe repeat some of the phrases. It sounds a bit weird, doesn't it, when you first hear it. But actually, these phrases are from the ancient scriptures, from the saints of the past who have been through, you know, times themselves when that's all they could find words to put together. And I'm just going to offer this time of silence for us, and then for us to bring the needs of the world, the needs of the people we know who need our prayers this morning, in the silence. So just make yourselves comfortable and come, Holy Spirit.